like to invite you over to the book of Genesis, chapter 45, verse 12. Genesis chapter 45, verse 12. Genesis chapter 45, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, again for the privilege of gathering together as your people to hear from you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, that you would guide the service by the power of your Holy Spirit, and we might worship you again, Lord, in truth and spirit for your honor and glory and our blessing. And then, Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance of salvation, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see that need even today and to know you today. Bless the service, Lord, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Behold Your Eyes See. Behold Your Eyes See. And this is really a work of the Lord concerning his mercy and revelation as he reveals to us the salvation that he's given to us. But not only that, the grace and the righteousness that he's given to us. And so we thank the Lord for that. And he wants us to see some things here that will help us to understand. Now, if you know a little bit about the history here of our text, Joseph's brothers thought they were finished with him. They thought they'd never see him again. Do you think that was the case? They thought they'd never see him again. And lo and behold, my goodness, just like the Lord told Joseph, there they are bowing before him. And they're troubled. This is not a very pleasant experience, but it is a good experience because the mercy of God is in the midst of this revelation to the brothers. And that is because the Spirit of God was guiding Joseph in his life. Joseph is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was rejected by his brothers the first time he came, but they'll be received the second time, or he'll be received the second time by them when he comes again. And so likewise, this is like the first time Joseph was rejected, and now he's going to be received. So let's look at a couple of things here concerning Joseph's heart. Back up with me to verse 1 and 2 just for a moment. And I want you to see what's going on here so you can pick up on the heart of Joseph. Now, Joseph's brothers betrayed him. They sold him into slavery, and they didn't think any good at all about him. In fact, the Bible says that they hated him, and they conspired to kill him. I mean, they had murder on their hearts and minds. But look at Joseph through this whole process, what God was doing in his life. Verse 1 says this, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren." This is a personal revelation. Let me ask you this question. How do you think the brothers felt about this personal revelation? Do you think they were excited about it? I think they were concerned about it, don't you? And so verse 2, it says, "And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" That's a good question. Doth my father yet live? Now, you have to kind of take this where the brothers are at, okay? He didn't say, I am Joseph and you guys are in trouble. Amen? He did not say that, but he did say, does my father yet live? So where is this? What is this showing us? Well, the brothers may not be picking up on this, but his heart's concern is, where's the father at? How is the father's welfare? What's going on with him? And so, and by the way, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's what the Lord was concerned about. The will of the Father, more important than anything else. And this is what God will convey in our lives as well. So he says, does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were what? Troubled at his presence. Troubled at his presence. Do you think when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again and reveals himself to Israel, do you think they'll be troubled at his presence? Listen, a lot of Jewish people have trusted the Lord, but many more have rejected who he is. And so they'll be troubled at his presence. And so here they are, they're troubled. And why? Why? Again, they never saw this day coming. They were convinced it would never happen. May I tell you, there are people today that are convinced they will never stand before a holy and righteous God.
There are people that shake their fists at God. There are people that shake their fists at the things of God. And one day, whether they realize it or not, they're going to stand before him. Now, our heart's desire is that they would know him as Savior and enter into the joy of the salvation and enjoy what we have, because God's not willing that any should perish. We are not gloating over those things, but listen, God will be justified one day, and we don't have to worry about it. Our focal point is the same point that Christ had, and that is that he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because but for the grace of God, you and I might be in the very same predicament without the Holy Spirit conviction in us, understanding that need of salvation that they need as well. And so here they are, never seeing this day coming. And I want you now to go down to verse 12, and we're going to pick up here on the spirit of Joseph's message. We're going to see his heart. It's revealed really prior to this verse here in the following verses after 3, but we're going to drop down to verse 12. And notice what he says here to them: "And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither." So listen to this message that was given to them. They were in fear, they were troubled, but Joseph is bringing them right in. Joseph is saying, "Listen, I've got a message for you. I want you to tell Dad everything that you've seen." Now remember, they're in a time of famine. They're in a time, the brothers of Joseph are in a time of great need. That's why they're in Egypt. Do you know that we cannot come to God until we're in great need? Even as a child of God, as long as everything, listen, that's why trials enter into our lives, not just to give us difficulties, but to draw us to the Lord that we might receive our strength from him. And by the way, the best thing to do is to bring God in on every little problem. I was telling you earlier about my windshield wiper flying off or hanging up, on that little arm there. And I was praying, "Lord, please don't let that thing fly off." I had about another 5 miles to go before there was an exit. And I thanked the Lord. People, "Oh, that just happened." Well, maybe for you. But I see God. Amen. I see God. And you know what? I call upon the Lord on the little things. And if you might think that's trivial, then you don't understand the presence of God and you're missing out. God wants you to see him in every little thing, if you'll have it. If you'll have it. Pride would say, oh, I don't need that. I can swing it. I'll just call God on the big things. Well, you're going to miss them quite a lot, because tell me, how many big things? When was the last time, if that's what you're waiting on, when was the last time you called on the Lord? Yep, crickets, if we're not careful. God wants us to see him every day in our lives. And so here he is, telling them, "I want you to give our father the good message." And then notice what he does here. He says, "I want you to bring him down hither," in verse 13, verse 14, he says, "And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and he wept." Is there love there? Is that an expression of compassion? Wait a minute. "And Benjamin wept upon his neck." He thought he'd never see his brother again. Sometimes we live like we'll never see God. God doesn't want us to live like that. "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren." They were all these rascals. And that's putting it kindly, isn't it? They conspired to kill him, and he's kissing on them. He is showing something that is out of the natural realm. He is showing the Spirit of God. Listen, I'm convinced he had a passion to make his brothers know that he loved them. God has a passion today to reveal to you and I how much he loves us. But if we don't call upon him and ask him and ask to see him in everything, we're going to miss out on all that he wants to show to you and I. And so here he is, he's falling on his brother's neck here, and he's kissing all of his brothers, and he wept on them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Do you see that? Listen, he went ahead and opened up the door of communication to these brothers who in their hearts believed they deserved the death penalty. And Joseph was the one in power that could have done it. And what did he show? What did Joseph show to his brothers? Mercy. and love and kindness. So this was a good revelation, really. Sometimes maybe we're afraid to ask God to reveal to us more of his grace in our lives. Maybe we're afraid of what that might entail. But may I remind you, our God is the God of ultimate love. We don't have to fear that. Listen, I don't think you have to fear asking God for patience. I don't think that's the way the Lord delivers it. Because, listen, the patience and the kindness and the gentleness, all the things that we need are wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what we want is more of Christ. God doesn't piecemeal our salvation. He gives it all in one lump sum. As he's given us Christ all in one lump sum. He didn't just partially give him to us. He gave him all. And if he's given to us his son, will he not freely also give us how many things? All things. All things. Because he's given us his son. And yet sometimes we're piecemealing God. Lord, I need a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And he says, if you just ask me for my son today, you'll have it all. You'll have it all. And so let's as we consider this is the spirit of Joseph's message. We'll go down now here and look at the work of God. Listen, in Pharaoh. So here we have the people of God. Joseph was in the right relationship with his God. The brothers were not. And look at how God works. This is a different Pharaoh than during the time of Moses. That's later on, that Pharaoh. But this Pharaoh here had a heart for the things of Joseph and the things of God. Look at what it says here in verse 16. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house of what had just transpired, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. Listen, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. It pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. Now, Pharaoh and Egypt is a picture of the world. But listen, God has promised that if we are in a right relationship by the grace of God, that he will even make our enemies at peace with us. And so, verse 17, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, listen, this is Pharaoh. He's already stepped ahead. God has already put it on his heart. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do ye. He's given a command. Lade your beasts and go and get into the land of Canaan. Now the reason why is because he's heard what Joseph was saying to his brothers about getting his father and coming back. And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Wow. What an invitation. May I tell you, has not God given us the same invitation to enter into his promises and to eat the fat of the promises of God, the grace and all the blessings that he has for us? Come, and I'm going to give you the good of the land. Verse 19. Now, thou art commanded, this do ye. Take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. He wanted to make sure that they didn't have to walk. He wanted to make sure that they could get there. And in good health, by the way. Look, verse 20. And also he says, regard not your stuff, for the good of the land of Egypt is yours. Don't worry about packing up shop. Leave your stuff there. You'll have everything you need over here. Wow. Has God not asked us to not consider the things of the world so precious? He's not saying that we can't enjoy those things, but they shouldn't be more important than the things of God. And God can use all those things, and God's not saying we shouldn't have all those things, they just shouldn't come before him. And so here they are. My goodness, what a message to these rascals that don't deserve it. Hey, what a message God has given to you and I, who don't deserve it either. What is there in us that God has given to us all of these promises and his grace and his love and his mercy? And so he says, I want you to come. I don't want you to worry about your stuff. You're going to have everything you need right here. And now I want you to see, this is the work of God in Pharaoh. I want you to see God's work to bring them in. Right? God is doing a work to draw their hearts. And not only that, but also his father. So verse 21 says this, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provisions for the way. Man, you couldn't have asked for a better setup. To all of them, he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Make sure you don't step out of the path. Make sure you stay focused on the goal. And that is to get back to your father, give him the message, and come back to Egypt. Don't wander out. Why? Well, because they've got means now, don't they? They've been provided for. They could have taken, hey, you know what? Listen, we're going back. You remember that oasis over there, and there was an inn over there, and we're just, how about we just camp out there for a few days? And it, no. Listen, stay focused. Don't get distracted, and keep your eyes on the objective. And that's what God is asking for his people to do, so that we will fulfill this plan. And you know what? Listen, these rascals, they did it. And we can too, by the grace of God. Brother George, are you calling me a rascal? Aren't we all? Amen. Aren't we all a bit of a rascal? And so here's the Lord doing a work here in their hearts and minds to bring them in. And so he says, verse 24 at the bottom, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan, and Jacob, notice, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. This is God's work in Jacob. See? Question. Did God know where Jacob was at? Where was Jacob at? He thought his son had been dead for many years. In fact, he was getting used to the idea of it. He was trying to just say, I'm just not going to see him anymore. Do you know all those in Christ we'll see again? We will see. There's a day coming that we will forever be with the Lord, and there'll be no more night. All the tears will be wiped, and we'll be in eternity forever. Not just for 100 years, not just for 1,000,000 years. Fathom that thought. Forever. My mind can't grasp that, because unfortunately we are creatures of the clock and we see it ticking. But there's coming a day where there'll be no more tomorrows and no more goodbyes and no more tears. And so here they are, they're coming. And verse 26, and they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Listen, do you remember the Bible says in Genesis 37, when Joseph told him about the dreams, his father rebuked him a little bit, but he listened to what Joseph was saying. He heard him, and he knew God was doing a work in him. He knew there was something different about him. And even in this midst of sorrow here, I don't even know if it entered into his mind. Wait a minute, didn't he say we would all bow down to him? Didn't he say he would be in a powerful position and we would come and we would bow down? I don't know if this made sense to him. I'm sure it didn't at this particular moment. And so, again, verse 26, and he told him, saying, Jacob is yet alive and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them what? He didn't believe them. He didn't believe them. You remember, we talked about Thomas a little bit. Oh, unless I can put my finger in his side and see the piercings, I'm not going to believe. And the Lord appeared to him and scolded him, right? No. He said, Thomas, here, put your finger in here if that's what you need to do. And again, I don't think Thomas had to do that, do you? I think he said, my Lord and my God. He saw who he was. And so here's Jacob in this position. He's fainting because he doesn't believe them. He's saying, can it possibly be? It can't be. Do you think he's wrestling a little bit? Why are they telling me this? Why are they doing this to me? I don't know. Listen, God is wanting to substantiate your faith and mine. Our faith is not built upon a hope-so salvation. God is wanting to show us day after day his great faithfulness. God is wanting to deliver you and I from sin. Romans chapter 6, to deliver us from sin. Romans chapter 7, God is wanting to deliver us from the law. You know that you and I can experience that every day by the righteousness of God and the wealth and the promises that God has given to us. And so as we look at this, he's not believing this, is he? And so verse 27, listen to this. And they told him all the words of Joseph. Is that enough for Jacob? No. Watch this. Which he had said unto them. And look what God did for him. And when he saw the what? The wagons. When he saw the grace and the power to bring him back there. When he saw that, the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him. Listen, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. You know that's what God is wanting to do in our lives? He's wanting to show us his mercy and power in our lives. You know what will happen to you and I when God reveals that it's my strength and my power and my might in you and my righteousness that will do the work of God? Do you know that you and I will be revived and have confidence? Do you think as Jacob stepped out there, do you think he looked at those wagons and wondered, I don't know. You know, I would dare say that the wagons that Joseph sent were better than what the brothers traveled to Egypt in. Wouldn't you say? I think he broke out the best. I think Pharaoh wanted the best for the man that spared by revelation the wrath of God upon Egypt. I think he wanted the best for Joseph and for his father. So here they are. Joseph is looking at this, and the Bible tells us here that the heart, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Listen to this. And Israel said, isn't this good? It is enough. It is enough. When the Lord appeared before Thomas and told him, go ahead and reach your hand in here and look at the pier. I think Thomas said, it's enough. And he said, my Lord and my God. Do you know that God is wanting to reveal himself to you and I? To where we say, there's no doubt, it's enough. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he has given me his righteousness and his grace in my life. It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive, and I will go and see him before I die. Do you know that God wants you and I to know that our Redeemer lives? He doesn't just want to show us that once a year on Resurrection Sunday. He wants us to say that every day, I know that my Redeemer lives. I am also persuaded that he is able to perform that which he has promised. There are many promises in the Word of God this morning. And God wants us to know who our Redeemer is. He wants to reveal that our eyes, behold, that our eyes would see the grace of God. Question, do you want it today? It begins with salvation. It begins with your faith. Let's equate that word with trust in the promise of God. When he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. The work of redemption is finished. I don't need you to add anything to it. If you'll just receive what I gave, the promise of eternal life through the righteousness of God, it doesn't matter what you have done. Oh, you don't know what I have done. Do you know some people believe that? God can't save me. Well, then, you know what? If that's where your faith is at, you better ask God to help you get it right. Because is there anything too great for God? God spoke this world into being. What keeps your heart ticking? What keeps it ticking? You? Not hardly. How come you keep breathing at night? How come you don't have to think to breathe? We take so many things for granted. Because God is the great sovereign king of all creation. And if he can do that and create everything, and if he says, I can forgive you, we better bring our unbelief before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to believe. I've got this problem with this unbelief that I need you to fix. You know, Paul was a murderer. Paul, of many people, he wasted, the Bible says he wasted the church of God. He wasted it. And do you remember how the people felt about him? Believers. Remember how the believers felt about him when he first got saved? They were afraid of him. They said, we know this man. He's bringing us to die. And Only God can take a man with a reputation like that and make him a lover of those he was persecuting. He made him a lover of those whom he hated. Isn't that amazing? God will do the same for you and I. And then we move into salvation, and God says, do you know, I want to walk with you more than just once or twice a year. Do you know I want to walk with you? I want you to abide in me. Isn't that what he said? John chapter 15. And I want you to abide in me. John chapter 14. I want to meet with you more than just on Sundays. Do you know what he said? I want to make my abode. I want to live. I want my life to live in you. Do you think Christians today are experiencing the life of Christ? Doesn't look like a whole lot of light taking place. Do you know that God wants to bless you first? You first, if you'll have it. Then what was the first institution God instituted? The family. Then God wants to bless your family through us, through you. He wants to fill your cup so that it overflows with his righteousness, his mercy, and grace. So it will spill into your family's life. And then into the life of the body of believers that you belong to. The church. And then to the world. Do you know God expects every believer to be not just filled but controlled and led by the Holy Spirit? So when an unbeliever walks in, it's not just the preacher, but it's the Spirit of God in every believer that is helping them to understand their need of eternal life. But if we're just so caught up and distracted and we forget to call upon the Lord, we're not going to experience that. It has to be a vital, active participation on our part to do what? To call upon the Lord. Not to do anything more, but to call upon the Lord and to ask him to show us the things he wants us to see. Behold, your eyes see. Lord, I don't want to see the things I think I want to see in you. I want to see the things you want to show me. We place ourselves in a place of humility by the grace of God to say, God, you know what's best. Show me what you want to show me. That I might see. That my family might be blessed. And then my church family. And then ultimately the world. Because God's not willing that any should perish. Let me give you the good news. God is still the same. You know that? Yesterday, today, and forever. He's still approachable if we'll ask him. But if we don't ask him, then it's so be it according to our faith. But if we do ask him, then it's again so be it according to our faith. He will show us. How much do we need God today? I am afraid we have too much stuff that's distracting us, that needs tending to. I'm not saying that stuff is wrong. I think the Bible lets us know it's when that stuff has a hold on us to where we forget to ask God, we've got too much stuff, whatever it might be. We've got too much stuff. If we forget to say, God, today and every hour, I need you. I need you. This morning, God wants us to see. Just as he allowed Joseph to see, Pharaoh to see, Benjamin to see, Joseph's brothers to see, and ultimately, Jacob to see. And when Jacob saw the wagons, what did he say? It's enough. My son is still alive. God wants to bring us to there, to that place. Thank you, Lord. It is enough. It is enough. I see now. I'll follow you and I'll call upon you because you truly reveal yourself in great and mighty ways that encourage me in my relationship with you. And you know what? When we see that, you know what we'll do the next day? We'll call upon the Lord again. And Lord, take me to that place to where I can say, thank you, God. It is enough. My Redeemer lives. And do you know if we have that kind of a relationship with God, it's contagious. It'll draw, we don't have to say anything to our families. They'll say, man, I like that. I like that. Do you know this, the Holy Spirit will walk in with us being released? He's in you. He's in us. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. But pride and all these different things that grieve the Spirit and a hard shell can keep him from coming out. Through us, he wants to come out in our speech, in our actions, that the love of God might be seen. Our church will be blessed. And as we go through life, the world will be blessed with the Spirit of Christ that he's given to us. Once again, the invitation is the Lord's. The opportunity is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. Lord, we ask that you bless this time as we call it the invitation time, where we have an opportunity to call upon you, even right there where we stand, to say, God, create that in my heart, that I might call upon you every day and asking you, Lord, to reveal your will in my life, that I might see you. And Lord, that you might move me by your Holy Spirit, that I might walk in him, and that the love of God may be shed abroad, beginning in our families, church family, and the world. Bless, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.